fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Our question of the day at 580KIDO.com. Is it okay, is it acceptable for SNL to make fun of ISIS? Think about that. Vote on it. We'd love to hear from you. Lots of great topics. Dr. Gerard Lamero with us once again to talk about net neutrality. You were quite the hit the last time you were on, sir.
Oh, really? Well, that's good to know.
We had a young person calling in from Boise State on his way to the computer science class trying to call you out, and he was saying that net neutrality was a good thing and life was wonderful, and we were all out of touch. So good morning.
Well, I'm happy to talk about it. A lot has happened since last Wednesday. I was on at this time slot last Wednesday, and that was the day before the FCC voted along strictly party lines. Three Democrat commissioners voted in favor of net neutrality. The two Republican FCC commissioners voted against. So the White House package, you know, came from the White House, given to the FCC, which is an issue right there, because we're not sure that that's the right way to do things, because they're supposed to be an independent agency. They're not a department of the White House. But at any rate, it did pass, and we're looking at what happens next legally, and we're looking at some of the new information we've been getting since last Wednesday. So this is breaking news.
Now, you thought for sure that the folks would not pass this, I remember. Is this a shock to you?
Well, no. I thought this would be voted along party lines, just as it was. What I think, though, is it's not going to stay in force. I think either through the courts or through lawsuits, or which is court-related, or through Congress and new legislation, or a new president that will be elected in 2016 and take over January 20th, 2017, I think among those three possibilities, this will not stand. This is a violation of our internet freedom. There are all sorts of issues, the $17 billion tax to start with that we expect. The list goes on and on. It opens the possibility for trial lawyers to get involved in various types of lawsuits. We're now learning this week, and I do call this breaking news, about the general conduct rule. Do you want me to talk about that?
You're our content, sir. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, what we've learned since last Wednesday when I was on is that it appears now that the net neutrality regulation package, 300-plus pages, includes a general conduct rule for internet regulation. And this general conduct rule includes something called effect on free expression. In other words, what we're learning is that the FCC is going to be able to deal with companies on a case-by-case basis, not general rules about fairness and neutrality like it's supposed to be, but they'll be able to look at case-by-case and say, you know, we don't think that bundle of services is just and reasonable, so we can throw it out. But more importantly, the effect on free expression. That essentially raises the possibility they're going to try to bring back the fairness doctrine and go after people like maybe Drudge, because is Drudge just and reasonable? Because in terms of the effect on free expression, they could say he's biased. He presents conservative news.
That's an interesting aspect that they would – the fairness doctrine, of course, really saved – AM radio and talk radio, for that matter, because before the fairness doctrine was thrown out, you had to have a for every conservative perspective, you had to have a liberal perspective, and you've had people that want to reintegrate that into radio again, which would destroy it. And now with net neutrality, we could see that on the internet.
Yeah. And by the way, you remember our friends here at the Federal Communications Commission. Do you remember last March? I remember it because I don't know if I did a blog post on it or if I talked on the radio about it, but back in March 2014, the FCC proposed sending monitors into TV and radio newsrooms to ask reporters, editors, hosts, station owners what their philosophy was of the news. What does the FCC care what your philosophy is? We know it's a good philosophy, but why should they ask you that? Is that harassment? And why do you run certain stories? They wanted to ask that of the same people. And it went so far that the FCC proposed sending monitors, whatever monitors are, into newspaper newsrooms. Now tell me that newspapers have anything to do with telephone regulation, right? I mean, it makes no sense. These people apparently wanted to go in and influence the news reporting.
Well, and that's what we're seeing here. So you believe that do you believe that these implementations will happen based on what you said earlier because of the law? Will the lawsuits and the change, hopefully the change at the top in a couple of years in the presidency will negate anything that the FCC could try and implement now?
Well, there's a good chance it'll be tied up in the courts for a year or two. There's a good chance Congress is going to be so outraged that when they get finished, listening to Netanyahu, and when they get finished trying to seal our borders and deal with amnesty programs, that they'll get to this one. Maybe they figure it's going to take a while for this to really get implemented. But let's face it, this is ridiculous. And I said, I think on your program last Wednesday, that net neutrality is a solution that does not work to a problem that does not exist, using legal authority they don't have. And so net neutrality was kind of all a smokescreen to get the ability to regulate and tax the internet and control it. And so I expect fully that they will implement the general conduct rule, and that one of the seven standards will be the effect on free expression, and that there will be attempts to guide, if you will, I'll put that in quotes, guide or control the content that comes over the airwaves.
What about the revenue, the taxes, and will we have to pay more to see President Underwood?
You know, I think that's exactly right. They're talking about it's not going to affect pricing, but all the regulatory apparatus will be in place to impact the pricing models. But more importantly, what you bring up, taxing. Just add the tax, even if you forget raising the prices on internet services. The first thing we expect within, say, a few months to a year is that the universal service fee that applies to Title II companies, Title II of the 1934 Communications Act, that they will apply that, and there'll be a 16.1% give or take tax on internet services, which, guess who pays that? Consumers, you and I, citizens. Not only companies will pay it, we'll pay it too. And in addition, it also, from what we understand, will allow states to charge taxes as well. So the first tax, the 16.1% tax, I expect, is just number one. You can expect lots of states to add their taxes too.
Well, you know, just the phrasing, the Federal Department of the Internet, just scary connotations. Now, we've had young people here that have called in and said, well, you know, if we don't have the government come in and save us, then who's to say that Comcast or Cable One or CenturyLink can, slow down your speed so you can't watch your show unless you pay more? We can't trust the capitalism of private enterprise.
Well, shouldn't the content providers pay for the bandwidth they're using? I mean, are the internet service providers supposed to build out fiber and other structures throughout the country and throughout the world and not be reimbursed for the cost? I mean, they're providing a service. They're providing a highway over which content is delivered. And some of the big content providers I heard one content provider takes up about half the bandwidth of the internet every evening because of their movies.
And, gee, yeah, wonder who that is. Yes.
Yeah, right. And should that be allowed and not pay? I mean, are ISPs supposed to do this for free and not get reimbursed? Why would you invest in a lot of infrastructure? One ISP has cut back for this year $1.8 billion of new investment because they're worried they'll never get a return on that $1.8 billion. They don't want to build it out for free and take a hit out of their pocketbook, which makes sense. Net neutrality, that whole concept of worrying about throttling back, that's ridiculous because it's not a problem. They were doing fine. They negotiate between themselves. You know, Amazon had a certain deal to get its Kindle download done. They had a special arrangement. Under this new net neutrality rule, that might have been thrown out and Kindle might not even exist today.
That's a great deal on that Kindle, by the way. That's some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. I really like it. It's kind of fun to say, oh, I want to read that book, and a minute later, it's right there.
Now, what do you make, though, of folks, again, that the young people that voted for Barack Obama through no fault of their own believe that this is a good thing with the government? We've talked about taxes. We've talked about content. We've talked about everything else, and there's just this inherent trust of government, and you know, you go back to the founding of the Republic, and we were founded on distrusting government.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, it goes back to a lot of university and college professors that have adopted Marxism as their model. They think they believe in government. They believe it's fair. They believe it's just. And they believe that's the way to go. And they taught a lot of the teachers who are teaching K through 12. You have a lot of schools where, you know, it's obviously not teaching constitutional principles and the value of freedom. Instead, they're saying, no, you need to be taken care of by the government. And that's kind of permeated a lot of people. Unfortunately, they're wrong. All the data indicate progressivism, socialism, those kind of policies fail. And if you think they work, and I know you don't, but I mean, if someone, some young person thinks they work, tell them to look at Obamacare and what a great mess they've made out of our healthcare system, which at one time was the best in the world.
Well, again, I totally agree with you. What, you know, it's interesting, this ruling, if it's allowed to stand, and you've got a lot of heavyweights that are going to make sure that they use everything legally through the courts that it doesn't. But I think that it, well, I'm sure it impacts digital natives a lot more than us that are, you know, digital immigrants, for lack of a better term, with these folks that grew up with the iPad, the Kindle, and everything else.
Well, you know, if people fail to take the time to learn economics, then they listen to whoever they choose. And if they want to listen to this drumbeat that all corporations are bad and they're all out to get you ripped off and the government is your savior, well, then I guess you believe in progressivism and socialism. Some believe in Marxism. And that's, you know, that's the way you'll believe. But if you look at the facts, if you study both sides, and by the way, I spend a lot of time reading the opposite opinions of my own just to try to understand their logic. And if you read both sides, you'll always come on the side of freedom. Freedom is where humanity's spirit is.
Well,
you know, freedom is a wonderful thing.
Let's go to the phones. Blair, good morning. You're on 580KIDO.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, I was having a discussion about this the other day, and they said, oh, no, it'll be a great thing that government will be managing the Internet. And I said, have you heard of Predator? This was the program that the FBI was trying to develop, an IT initiative to, you know, manage everything. How many billions of dollars did they waste on that before they gave up because they couldn't make it work? And then I pointed out, what about the Obamacare website? $2 billion, and it still doesn't work. I said, you know, having federal government manage an IT project, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. Thanks. I'm done. Bye.
All right, Blair. Dr. Lamero,
well,
your thoughts.
Well, I agree with them on the Obamacare. You know, when you think of it, spending over $1 billion to get one website working, it doesn't work. You know how much cheaper my website is? $1 billion, and mine works fine. They can't run one website. How can they run the entire Internet across the United States? It's absurd.
What is your website, by the way, for people that want to jump in?
Well, the quick way to get to it is through my book name, renewingamericabook.com, renewingamericabook.com, or GerardLamero.com, but sometimes people have a hard time with my name because it's, you know, it's not the easiest. It's not Smith, you know.
Hang on, Dr. Lamero. More coming up next. We'll take more of your phone calls, 580-5436. Time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The rules would open the door for the first time for internet providers like Comcast and Verizon to charge tech companies to send content to consumers more quickly. Netflix, for example, might pay a premium to ensure that its customers can stream movies more reliably at a cost a startup competitor might not be able to afford.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Our guest, Dr. Gerard Lamero, with us at 580 KIDO. Let's go to Ronnie in Caldwell at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's up, dude? And what's up, Doc? Hello? Well, hey, I'm not really even bothered by this, you know? I don't know what the big deal is because, you know, my situation, right?
What's your situation?
I was telling Kevin, man, I've been getting free internet, dude, for years, for like 7 years, man, and high speed and everything. So I don't really, I don't care about this stuff, man. And I think everybody else ought to think about how I do it.
Do you want your costs to go up?
No, my costs won't go up, man, because I borrow the internet, man.
You borrow it? Well, that's nice. Well, there are people who pay. In fact, I think most consumers pay. And just the taxes alone will raise the prices, but so will the regulations. Also, the lawsuits that are going to come about because of this individual case-by-case regulation. You know, you can expect things like lobbying to go up, and there's costs for lobbying. And you can also figure that there won't be as many bundles around that would have saved you money. And so if you get everything for free, that's wonderful. Most of us pay, and we're going to have to pay more.
You know, I get it from my neighbor, dude. That's how I get it, you know.
You steal it. You're a thief.
No, I don't steal it, man. I just borrow it.
You borrow it.
Well, is there a point to this nonsense, Ronnie?
You know, there is, Millie, and there always is when I call you. The thing I'm trying to say is people need to be more resourceful, man. There's ways to do this without paying a bunch of money for it, man. And I'm just trying to say my way's the best way, and I encourage everybody else to try it.
Well, you know, there are people who have to put the infrastructure in place. You may get to use everything for free, but there are people who work hard to put that infrastructure in place. Fiber optics across the country cost money. And if you decide to tax it, as the government may very well very soon do that under this new regulation, now your prices are going to go up just on taxes alone.
Now, if they tax it, dude, are they going to make it so I can't get on certain websites? Well, do I have to pay extra for that maybe?
Well, it's hard to say because it'll be a case-by-case basis, and there are going to be an awful lot of lawsuits. So we'll have to wait and see who the government picks as the winners and losers.
Well, Millie's taught me one thing, dude. The government doesn't do anything right. So I'm going to step out and say 10-4, good buddy.
All right. Well, breaker, breaker.
Roger, over.
All right. That's our infamous Ronnie from Caldwell.
Wow. By the way, I recommend he read some of the books by Thomas Sowell on basic economics. Thomas Sowell's a great professor of economics who understands it well and has written a lot of good books. And he can also read my book about freedom. He might enjoy that.
And one more time, your book on freedom, sir.
Yeah, Renewing America and Its Heritage of Freedom. What freedom-loving Americans can do to help. It's all about our freedom, what it is, where it came from, the moral case, why it's better than socialism and progressivism, and what we can do to build our country and make it great. build on our heritage of freedom.
Finally, Dr. Lomero, what the lawsuits will be filed next to stop this? Will there be injunctions?
Probably could be. You know, it's hard to say exactly how it'll go. Net neutrality has shown up in the courts several times. It's always thrown out. That's part of the reason that I'm optimistic that this, all of this will never really happen. It'll be tied up in litigation. But I'm also talking about the litigation where if they do start regulating, people are going to say, well, you're not interpreting the rules the right way. Or since everything is case-by-case basis, everything's going to be ad hoc. It's going to make the FCC into this micromanager of the entire Internet. And who knows what that's going to be, but you can bet there's going to be a lot of litigation because there's going to be lots of millions of dollars involved for many companies, both large companies and small companies who are trying to get started. The innovation that we've come to know with the Internet will really grind to a halt if this is implemented fully, because permissionless innovation, which is what we had, will no longer be possible. I mentioned the Kindle example with Amazon and their agreement, I forget if it was Verizon, where that's how the books are delivered. They had to arrange kind of their own little service that way. There are a lot of other kinds of services that exist now that wouldn't. Take, for example, the yellow pages. You remember the traditional yellow pages, those big, thick books with a
sure.
bunch of yellow pages?
Right.
Well, you know that along the way on the development of the Internet, somebody got the idea to have phone numbers on the Internet as a service. And now a lot of people look up their phone numbers on the Internet, right? They don't bother to go to a yellow pages book. Well, if this had net neutrality had come into play before those apps were thought of, they might not have ever been allowed, because yellow pages could have sued and said, you're infringing on my business model and your internet version of my business model is unfair to me. So they may have sued and we may not have ever been able to look up a phone number on the internet.
Dr. Lomero, we appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Okay. You have a great day in Idaho.
Take care.
Bye.
Coming up next, we'll talk education. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO.
New Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Joining us now, the president of the IEA, Idaho Education Association, Penny Sear. Penny, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
It's been a while. You staying out of trouble?
I'm trying, you know.
You know. A lot of people have been talking about teachers at the education level, at the government and stuff. I figured we might as well go to the source. Your thoughts on the state of education, the state of teachers here in Idaho today, ma'am?
Well, we know over the past several years that we have lost many valuable, great teachers to other states surrounding us or to other professions. So we're very concerned about that.
Does it all come down to money?
No. It comes down to respect and recognition that teachers are the professionals in the classroom closest to the kids. They know what children need to succeed in school, but their voices aren't being heard.
No, I'm with you on that, but we've had some lawmakers on citing the idea that we can't pay our teachers is the reason why we're losing a lot of them, particularly in the eastern part of the state.
Well, I'll tell you that it is in the eastern part of the state. They're near Wyoming, Utah, et cetera. They do pay upwards of $20,000 more per year for beginning teachers. So that is a concern. Our families, our teachers need to be able to support their own families as well as take care of the kids they teach.
Sure. You go to the comments of Senator Sitaway, who said that on this program, I think he was quoted in the paper, saying, you know, nobody went to college so they could qualify for public assistance. Is there a teaching crisis in Idaho?
Well, I believe there is. We have many districts are not being able to attract teachers to their schools. They are actually reaching out to colleges and hiring people who have not completed degrees on putting them on provisional certification. So, yeah, we don't have the teachers that we need to fill the positions that our students need.
For a lot of us here that aren't educators at 580KIDO, mm-hmm. what's the danger, what's the concern when you have people that have not been certified through the state who've gone through the training to teach kids. Can't anybody educate someone and, you know, one person, entertain, inform, and provoke and educate 30 kids in one room? I mean, to me, a lot of people would say that's pretty easy, is it?
I think it's the hardest job on earth. You know, in an education program at higher ed, they teach you a variety of things, but among those are child psychology, learning how to figure out how students learn best, how to individualize instruction throughout the day. So if you have 30 students, you know, what's going to meet Johnny's needs best or Susie's needs best, and keeping your whole class paying attention, engaged, not getting into trouble. And, you know, teachers are amazing. In this state, Idaho's teachers go over the top in working with these students, and that's because they've been trained to do that.
So we've got a lot of legislation, proposals, it's whether it's the feds, whether it's the state. Everybody wants to save education or make it better. What from your level, at the grassroots level, Penny, do you believe will, you know, bring in more folks and, you know, keep them so kids can get a proper education?
Well, I certainly think that higher pay, but again, respect, listening to the teachers, they should be the major voice at any table that discusses education for our kids. You know, that's really about it. Let's respect the professionals in that profession.
I'm with you. And you know, again, you have all these levies coming up. We've talked to the lawmakers, and I'll say they look at it from you know, a pro-education aspect. They're not, you know, as we've had in the past where we've had taxpayers versus teachers, we've had folks say we understand that, you know, we need qualified kids. Heck, Canyon County, there are some schools that are, you know, being taught from what we've heard with uncertified, non-certified teachers. That's a situation that needs to be rectified, and it all comes down to money. And we're not saying that, you know, teachers are highly paid, but just fair pay, right?
Yeah, fair pay is exactly right. You know, one of the concerns you mentioned, levies. We know that over two-thirds of our districts around the state have had to levy their community taxpayers because the state hasn't stepped up and fulfilled its obligation to fund public education. We're very concerned that this career ladder plan will hurt our rural school districts because they're going to have a continued difficulty in attracting teachers. They have less resources. They have, you know, fewer classes, fewer things to offer the students. So we're very concerned about that.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Rural, you know.
It is. Now, are you concerned? You've had the governor make a proposal. You've had Sherry Ibarra make a proposal. You've had JFAC mulling over the proposals. We've heard they're increasing the funding of education. You have Senator Sitaway saying, look, we want to make sure that the teachers are paid. And if we get an increase, I want to tie it to, you know, tiered tenure. Make sense of it all for us.
Well, I'll tell you, this career ladder legislation that we believe will be coming forward, first of all, it doesn't honor the promises that were made. They made a promise that it would begin at 40,000 and go to 60,000 allocation to school districts. Remember this, it's not money in a teacher's pocket, goes to the district. So they have stopped at 50, so they didn't honor that promise. Requires an endorsement of a teacher who's already received a higher ed institution's recommendation to be certified, requires them to receive an additional endorsement after 3 years in order to be unfrozen on the salary schedule. It eliminates education for teachers in any meaningful way. It eliminates national board certification. It gives a small stipend to the district for people who have 24 credits beyond master's beyond their bachelor's or get a master's. But it doesn't encourage education other than to recertify, which is strange in a state when we have a goal of 60% of our students graduating from college and going on. Yet we don't value teachers getting additional education. So those are just some of the concerns that we have.
Well, Penny, can you hang on for a minute?
Sure.
All right, more coming up with Penny Sear, IEA President, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3, Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up, a big showdown going on in the city of Eagle. We'll talk about that next. Joining us now, our great friend Penny Sear, IEA Hi. President. Good to have you back. So,
thank you.
A lot of folks that aren't involved in education go, you know, tiered tenure is great. We need to get rid of tenure. In fact, we've had politicians on this program say that tenure is inhibiting teachers from teaching. Do you agree with that?
I do not agree with that. It just simply helps them be able to be a partner in the education of their child. Kevin, if I could, I wanted to say something more about career ladder. You were talking about money and this current career ladder proposal. The proposal barely adds just over $100 a month before taxes to a beginning teacher's salary. So that doesn't amount to much. Where we know in Wyoming, for instance, beginning teachers make $43,269,000. Experienced teachers can go to Wyoming and earn upwards from $10,000 more. And we know that Washington State and Nevada are going to be hiring several thousand more teachers next year, where they're in Nevada, the beginning salary is $38,000. And going up to 73,000. So our concern here is that this proposal takes too long to get us to a competitive wage that is equal to the states that surround us. We are going to continue to have teachers leave the state of Idaho if they're concerned about taking care of their families and being able to participate in things like buying houses and et cetera in their communities.
Well, I'm glad we covered that. So now back to the idea of where do we go? We've got all these budget things. So if the governor gets his budget approved, does that change the lives of the folks here? Does that restore some of the funding? And heck, we haven't even talked about turning off the internet in the schools.
Well, that's true. We haven't talked about that. Our two priorities for this year are to increase the compensation for teachers and other educators and to get money back into our schools in discretionary funds. School districts, again, have been levying in order to just keep the doors open, let alone keep programs going for our students.
580KIDO as we continue on. So back to the tenure issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, long ago and far away when I had less of a midsection, more of the follicles on my head, you know, I taught very briefly and it changed my perspective forever. And if you eliminate tenure, I think the issue comes down to what happens to the teacher. Do they just pander to the whims of everybody? I mean, you have to be able to stand up for what's right for the kid, right?
Exactly. So tenure basically says you have to give me due process as a teacher before you can fire me. Without a continuing contract, which is what we call it in Idaho, without that, somebody could, if they wanted to hire their niece, they could say, oh, you're done with your job and leave. If they didn't like how you dress, they could tell you to leave. So tenure basically says, no, you've got to give me due process. You have to give me certain assurances that I will have the ability to improve in my job if that's the concern, and that I will be able to defend the rights of my students and what they need without worrying about repercussions.
Penny, we appreciate anything else you'd like to share with us this morning.
Well, I appreciate the time that you've taken to talk with me. I hope that your listeners will get involved in this discussion about the career ladder proposal that's coming down and other issues that affect public education in Idaho. So thank you so much, Kevin.
You stay out of trouble, Penny.
I'll try.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right. We've had both sides of the equation when we're talking about the tenure situation, the funding situation. Look, you heard Penny talk about that there is a crisis. Now, Senator Cameron thought, you know, went a little short of saying that. But when you have folks that haven't been through the program that are teaching, there are big issues in our schools. And this is something that not only that we will continue to cover, but we urge our brothers and sisters in the electronic media and the print media. And Bill Roberts, I think, does a great job at the Statesman in covering education. but to continue to focus on these issues and get both sides of the story out, right? Time for traffic now, 32. Controversy in Eagle, apparently eminent domain, possibly used to take some land. You've been to Eagle, home of, the Wild West Coffee. Love that coffee shop. Of course, Mrs. Miller's Flower Shop. Trying to think of anything else in Eagle. Mickey's. The proposed roundabout that refuses to die. Idaho Athletic Club in Eagle. What about eminent domain? Are you down with local governments taking your land? Could that happen? We'll find out next. Keep it here.
Idaho's